Acts chapter 6, 1 Timothy 3. I'm going to talk to you tonight, and it's sort of going to be a little different. I'm not preaching to you, I'm talking to you. We have deacon elections coming up and nominations that I've been asking for since our annual, and I would prefer that it be done skillfully and graciously. And there are times where some good intentions get exhibited or put into action in a less than becoming way. And I think we can all do better than that. So what I want to do tonight is I want to walk you through what I do with deacons and their wives. Typically when they're new deacons, I call a meeting, staff, deacons, and their wives. I don't know how many of these you sat through, Joy, when you were working here. And this isn't new. It's the same thing I do year after year after year. But I want you to know what they are expected, what's expected of them. Then I'm going to go into the biblical qualifications. And then I'm going to show you, we have a nomination form that's out in the foyer. So, you know, you might say, oh, man. I'm trying to think of a name that isn't going to be offensive to anybody. Mrs. So-and-so would make a great deacon. Well, I'm sorry, Mrs. So-and-so won't make a great deacon. Okay, so we need to just put some parameters around some of this stuff. A lot of you hear from different churches, and different churches do things differently, procedurally and all. So I just would like us all to get on board here so that there's at least a common dissemination of the historic practices of our church. So that said, let's pray. Let me ask God to bless us, and we'll go through this real quick, or not real quick. And if there's something there that you want to say, you know what, Pastor, that can you explain that a little more? I'd be happy to. I really would. I'd like you to grab a hold of where we're coming from and why we do what we do. Biblically, obviously, but there are some procedural things we do that we really have thought through, and we do them for reasons. And I would like you to at least consider that in this process. So, Father, please give us a gracious spirit, a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of biblical truth. Help us to put aside perhaps even some of our desires for biblical truth if they would be in conflict. Help the Word of God to trump all, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, when I meet with the deacons and the wives, I go through what the office is and what it isn't. That's one of the first things I do because there's a lot of misconception about this. In different church groups, for instance, let me give you a couple for instance. If you would come out of a Baptist Bible Fellowship group, the pastor is the absolute beginning and end of things. A lot of Baptist Bible Fellowship groups, the pastor controls the books. He sees who gives what. He controls the money. I sat in a church where the pastor, if he needed money, went in and got it and just spent it. No accountability. Now, not all of them are like that, but he was in that particular circle. You can go to the other end of the spectrum in Baptist churches, independent Baptist churches, and go to like the General Association of Regular Baptists. Bill, you were in one of those. Townsend Avenue was one. GRBCs. And there's a difference between East Coast garb and Midwest garb and West Coast garb. They're different. Geographically, they take on some different colors. So I'm going to talk about Midwest garb. I know it better than the other two. So because I have two sons that pastor garb churches, okay? And a lot of times in the garb churches, the deacons become almost like the advisory board to the pastor. And that's why I squirmy at the term board. There's no board in the Bible, and the deacons were never in that position in the scriptures, never. So we can go from the board where they almost dictate policy to the pastor to the place where it's the pastor and there's no one that can challenge him. And they use the phrase, God's anointed, you know, don't question God's anointed and all this nonsense, and they yank stuff out of context, and it's just not good. Here's what I believe. This is what our church has been practicing. I am fully in sync with it. Here's what I believe, and I think the scriptures will validate this as I go into them. So the office is for ministry. It's not for glory before man's eyes. Matter of fact, the word itself means minister, and it's used of Christ. It's used of the apostles. It's used of common folk like you and me in our ministering capacity. There's even a female ending to it, deaconess, so it's not a taboo term. It's just that it's never elevated to an office in the church where deacon is in the formal sense. It's behind the scenes work, seeking to please only the Lord. Second point of that is it's sobering in that you're the trustees of the church and in charge of the physical and financial aspects of the church. They have the fiduciary responsibilities of the church by our constitution, and it seems that even in the early church, the deacons were the ones, Acts 6, we'll get to that in a few moments, but they were the ones that were in charge of distribution of goods to those that had need. The third aspect of this is it's an office of the church, and as such, it's an elected position that demands a trust and great care. It affects your wife, your children. They need to stay in order because they qualify the deacon, and I'll show you that in 1 Timothy 3. It's a servant's office. This includes characteristics of a servant. He must be willing to have one thing on top of another put on him without any consideration being given to him. In other words, no recognition. Our deacons have a lot that they have to deal with. And folks, I try to remember to say thanks to the deacons a lot and thank the deacons a lot. They do put up with a lot. They really do. Deaconing in 21st century America is hard enough. And then you get into an environment like ours where there are so many rules and regulations that the government puts on, and it can really get squirmy. Our deacons meeting tonight, we are going to consider a bid to fix our fire alarm system. $4,030. And they have to make that decision. Or do we keep looking? Now, this is the second bid that we've gotten. But what I want you to understand is they're in trust of a lot of money. And whatever they do, they're going to bring it back to you guys because of the amount. I'm sure of that. And if any of us have any sense, that's going to happen. And that will be decided in the quarterly business meeting. But they're not doing nickel-dime stuff here. And they have to make decisions on whether we should allocate funds or not allocate funds. They have a deacon's fund that is theirs to oversee. And there are times where there are real needs and there are times that there are real cons. You get the deal? You understand what I'm saying? And they're supposed to wade through that and understand it. He must be willing not to be thanked because most of the time you're not. He must not charge the other with selfishness. In other words, his is to do the job. His is to see the need and do it with a good spirit, not to look at who's doing what and say, oh, you're selfish or you're this or you're that. You're not pulling your weight. He's to do the job. He must not give room for pride or self-congratulation, but rather confess that he is an unprofitable servant. You know the parable that I'm talking about there? When it's all said and done, I'm still an unprofitable servant to the Lord. And we all are, if the truth be known. But they really have to grab that if that's what they're going to be doing. He must admit that doing and bearing what we have in any way of meekness and humility is nothing more than our duty. So the key is meekness and humility. It's our duty. And you can tell if you have a servant's attitude by the way you react when you're treated like one. Isn't that the truth? The second thing I see about the office is that it is not, and this is important, you really need to hear this, it is not a congressman or a senator within the church. It is not a power job. When people try to get your ear about gossip or things that pit you against the staff or other deacons, you give them the old three-choice option. Go to the one that you have a problem with, I'll go with you to the one you have a problem with, or I'll go to them and tell them that you're a gossip and you're talking about them and they should go to you. That's pretty good, isn't it? It's amazing how quick gossip stops when that takes place. Oh, Pastor, that people just tell me all these things. That's because you listen. Don't listen, they don't tell. Put a stop to the gossip. There's a remedy, and you stop being the weak link in promoting gossip. Don't get caught in things that don't concern you and that are not in your ability to remedy. If it doesn't involve you, stay out of it. The troublemaker will look for the weakest link, and he'll puff you up as they position you with their, as they poison you rather, with their venom. And that's what happens. People that want to come in and do things, people that are in and want to do things. By the way, people that are in and want to do things, Paul talks about that in Acts chapter 20. From your own midst, there shall rise up wolves, not sparing the flock. He warns the Ephesian elders. So just some ideas there. So the first thing is the idea of the office is, the office is not. Then the qualifications. Now we're in Acts chapter 6. The qualifications include relief of the pastor. They supported and encouraged the pastor. They informed the pastor. They maintained a bond with the people, defending the leadership from attack. Let me give this to you and break it down. Acts chapter 6, verse 2, is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, the apostles are talking to men of the church. This position came out of necessity. The Grecian women were not getting ministered to like the Jewish women were getting ministered to. And there was a bit of a prejudice there. It was almost like a carryover from the Samaritan kind of thing. Not quite as bad. But the Jews that chose to be Greeks, the Grecians, the Hellenist Jews, they were the ones that were not getting the same attention as those that were the pure Jews, the Christian Jews, okay? So, wherefore, brethren, verse 3, looking out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So that's the premise. That's why they did it. So what happens then is verse 5, the saying pleased the whole multitude. The whole church was in favor of this. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Catch that. Full of faith and Spirit-led. And Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Now, it was an apostolic church, I understand that. Were the apostles the pastor of that church? No, actually they weren't. But they clearly had this apostolic position within the church. It was very unique to the time. The pastor of the church was James, half-brother of Christ. We see him in Acts chapter 15. But at this time, whether he was selected as the pastor or whether it was still an apostolic leadership, I don't know. But the quality or the characteristic of having deacons was that they could give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And that is a big deal. So the deacons were men who were going to lighten the load, the past, or the workload within the congregation. Anything from caring for the widows, which is that's the context of this, to, I would say, bring it into contemporary, into our contemporary society, hospital visits, dissemination of the widow or the a deacon's fund, helping out with people, the age and those that don't have family. And that could even mean young people whose husbands are deployed, let's say. So deacons have this job description biblically of caring for those who are going with need uncared for. So that's some of what they did. They relieved the pastor of extra or hindering labors. Not impossible labors, because the truth of the matter is, a lot of times I do work around here that I could leave for the deacons, but by the time they got up here to do it and then back home again, and what it would cost them and their family and their schedule, it was just as easy for me to do it. But a lot of times I don't. And a lot of times I can't. I don't have time. And more the deacons have been assuming this role in our church. You don't see it, but they're doing it. And you ought to be thankful for it. They supported and encouraged the pastor, showing him special respect. I can't help but think of 1 Thessalonians 5, if you want to go there with me. But 1 Thessalonians 5, it's an interesting passage again. It's one of those passages where we're given instruction on how to behave ourselves around those that are ministering to us. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace one among another. I don't believe that that should be yes men, and believe me, we do not have yes men as deacons. We absolutely do not. They speak their mind, and they are encouraged to do so. And when we conclude, we all submit to it, as long as it doesn't breach doctrine. There have been things I've wanted in this church that the deacons have not wanted in this church, and they are not here. Okay? So anyone that says that Counterman gets what he wants around here and the deacons are a bunch of rubber stampers, you do not know this church. You have no clue. So let that be said. These are independent men. They are thinkers. They are men of God. They should be. Are they always? I don't know. I don't know their heart to you. But they should be. They inform the pastor of needs in a right way, being a help. 1 Corinthians 12, let's go there. 1 Corinthians 12. I probably should have printed all these out so I could have gone a little bit faster than I am, but forgive me. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let, that's not it. 12:28. Here we go. And God hath set some in the church, first the apostles, secondary prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, workers of miracles, have all gifts of healing? No. I show it to you a more excellent way. There are those that have these gifts of helps, and they are there to help the pastor and be part of that body for coordinating in unity. They maintain a bond with the people defending the leadership from attack. I think that is something the whole church should do, quite honestly. You have a question, you ought to ask it to the person that it involves, not go spouting it to this one, that one, or another one that can't answer. That's why, and again, I'm not trying to do anything inappropriate here, but that's why we post an agenda. You see something in the agenda that isn't up to what you want, ask a deacon or ask me. That's why it's there. And we try to do that so that we can answer you completely and not tie up the whole church in a business meeting. And so then the devil's advocate, and that's probably what they'd be, says, well, what if the whole church wants to know that? Well, then the whole church can ask that to a deacon or to the pastor, and they're going to get the same answer. But why stir up something? The flavor of a church ought not to be to stir up a problem. It ought to be to stir up unity. And this is an issue, folks. It's something very, very important. The deacons are instructed to be advocates of unity within the church. Not compromise, but unity. They give special aid and attention to the poor and the sick. That's verses 1 through 6. And then they free up the pastor for the ministry of the word and prayer through activities and available helps. That's Acts chapter 6, verse 4. Jim Berg writes this. This aspect of servanthood is often overlooked in our free-thinking democratic society. By this definition, many believers are not very good servants. They do not respond well to the will of their masters. They do not obey civil institutional law. They do not cheerfully submit to parents or to husbands or to employers or to church leaders and other authority figures in their lives. The spirit of our age preaches that if you do not like the will of your master, it's all right to ignore it or defy it. Nothing is more unChrist-like. A serious look again at Philippians 2, 1 through 11 shows our Lord's spirit to the earthly authorities who sentenced him to death, even the death of the cross. So they're not there as the senator or the representative of the congregation. That's not what their job is. And yet I can say this year after year after year. And it's so inviting to be the one who is going to solve all the problems or the one who is the master that can remedy it all. I tell the deacons, and their wives are there too, so that when troubles come, and they'll always look for the weakest one, so when troubles come, just tell them to go to the people they have a problem with, and I don't want to hear any of your nonsense. As soon as anything comes up about someone else in the negative, it's gossip, and you shut it off, and you tell them, you go to them, we'll go to them, or I'm going to them, and I'm going to tell on you. You don't stir up gossip around me. That's nothing more than breeding dissension and division in the church. 1 Timothy 3. Now we're to the second passage, and this gets very, very specific about the office of a deacon. Look at verse 8. Likewise, let's start right there. The idea, likewise, it's a continuation after the qualifications of a pastor. So what's going to happen is the office of a deacon is going to embrace some of the same qualifications and characteristics of the pastoral office. Though it's not the same, the calling is not necessarily there, but most certainly the quality of the individual is demanded. Now, let's listen to what that is. Likewise, in the same way as the pastors, must the deacons be grave? That's the idea of dignified, worthy of respect. It doesn't mean they can't laugh. It doesn't mean they can't cut up. But they know when to do it and when not to do it. They can't be double-tongued. In other words, liars. The idea is deceitful. They have to be sincere. They are not to be given to or addicted or indulging in much wine. Ah, pastor, see, they can drink in the Bible, and why can't we? We had one ask the question, so why are so many Christians drinking now? I have a very good answer, because they don't care about the weaker brother. Matter of fact, I can take it a step farther, they don't care about themselves. Matter of fact, I can take it even a step farther, they don't care about the reputation of the name of Christ. Shame on them. Not greedy of filthy lucre, dishonest gain. They hold the mystery of the faith. This is the gospel of Christ in pure conscience. In other words, they're able to present Christ. They're able to give the gospel, and they have a life that endorses it. Let these also be first proved, tested. And it goes along with Paul's admonishment of laying hands suddenly on no man. So there should be a testing time and process. By the way, we have held in our church the standard of teachers or deacons should be in our church at least 6 months before ever being nominated to that position. Why? So they know the church. So they know what it is and they know what it's not. So that they are proven in the ministry of our church. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. That's the idea of beyond reproach. Even so must their wives. I love this. Because I'm qualified by my wife. The deacons are qualified by theirs if they're married. They're qualified by this. A wife that is grave, dignified, worthy of respect. This is in the eyes of others, not just you. They're not slanderers. It's the idea of malicious gossips. They're sober, the idea of temperate, sober-minded. They are faithful, worthy of trust. Trust of persons who show themselves faithful in the transaction of business, the execution of commands, or the discharge of official duties. And they are showing themselves faithful in all things. It's very interesting. So you could have a guy that's really make a great deacon, but if his wife isn't on board biblically, please don't go to him. Because what happens is when you go to him, and I get the ballot, you know, oh yeah, so-and-so would like to, I'm going to go to him, and I'm going to sit down with him and his wife. And I'm going to go through these qualities with his wife, and then I'm going to say, you know, it's going to take time. You know, it's going to invade your family time. You know, it's going to invade your time. It might even invade some of your resources. Are you willing? And then I'm going to look at him and say, can you keep secrets? And you know, one thing about being a pastor at a church for 24 and a half, almost 25 years, is you start to know a lot about your flock. Verse 12, let the deacons be the husband of one wife. He's a one-wife man. In other words, not divorced. If a man were to be widowed and remarry, he would still be qualified to be a deacon. But if he is divorced, he is not. And we have tried to be very careful with, even with the testimony of, even if his wife has been divorced and he's never been. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. You're right, but it still says blameless. And we, it gets really dicey in that area. And I'll be very honest with you. I take it situation by situation. It's just not healthy that comes back up and is used against the deacon or against our church. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling, to be placed over or manage, ruling their children and their own house as well. In other words, there's no place that's indicative of a person's real Christian character than his home. A home, at home, sham and all pretense are dropped, and a man can be seen for what he is. That's Robert Saucy on this passage of 1 Timothy 3. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase themselves a good degree, great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So far, we have qualifications, what the office isn't, and what the office is. We're to live at a higher standard. In other words, in spiritual walk, we should be growing spiritually. In action, we should be looked at as a spiritual person in the eyes of those that see. I don't care whether a person is wealthy or poor, they ought to be rich in Christ. They ought to be people who are serving and people who are seeing things done for Jesus Christ. They ought to have a heart for souls, an attitude to serve towards the church, towards the leadership. And they ought to be encouragers within the body. Edify regularly. Love the unlovely. Keep growing in the Lord. Look for those who are by themselves and then minister to them. Get eyes. In family, their family should be in order. And in dress, this is not a church with a lot of rules and dress standards. It's just not. It never has been. But you know something? There's an office. There's something about an office. I hate ties. I wear them. The only time I don't wear ties is when we have camp night, yay, and VBS night, yay. But other than that, you're going to catch me in a tie all the time. And I have my coat right there, actually, but because of the topic and because of the format, I thought I would take it off. But I could put it on. Anyway, in looking for and seeing needs and ministry to be done in the physical as well as the spiritual domain, this is industry and initiative. It's inventive. You can't do this if your family's in constant need of your attention. You get the church with your family ready to serve. This should be normal, but if it isn't, then it becomes a template that is mandated and forced on a child, and the child sees right through it. They see the hypocrisy. And then we have deacons. Oh, yeah, they have position. They have standing in the church, except the family sees hypocrisy. What's that? I don't want a guy that has standing in the church and loses his family. Matter of fact, we have had men step down from the office because they just got too busy and they can't spend the appropriate time with their family. And I say amen to them. What wisdom they show. That's goodness. So anyway, for church only, they grow up hating the church and normal services. These are the kids when they see this hypocrisy going on in the home. You'll have people care as well as care. You will have people care, as well as care of a section of the physical property. You'll be expected to look for, care for visitors in a most basic way. Greet them, inform them of various service areas within the church campus, such as Sunday school, where the classes are, activity areas and times, and invite them to sit with you and your family. Areas that always must come to me. And I tell the deacons and their wives this is what I read to them. Like they can't read, we go through this. Gossip about staff, deacons, and teachers. Any familial issues that are serious. And that includes issues with children, abuse, sexual sinning, etc. that you are made aware of. They come to me. I'm the guy whose head's in the sling, or in the noose here, if things go south. It comes to me. I'm the guy that stands before the Lord with this stuff. It comes to me. Well, Pastor, I told the deacon this in confidence. There is no confidence in these areas. It's care in these areas. And most are not trained to work in these areas. If you ever need to step down, please do so rather than make myself or another come to you and seek your removal. Far better to step down and get things straightened out in your life and in your family than to be asked to step down. And wives, don't ask your husbands about their jobs. If they need your help, they'll ask. Stay out of the deacon's affairs, if at all possible. If you hear things in the carrying out of their job, forget what you hear. Men, keep your wives from the load that you might sometimes have to bear. If you're found leaking information or compromising confidentialities, you will be dismissed immediately. And that has happened. And then I take time for questions with them. This is what we go through, what I go through with the deacons and their wives. This is a very important position in the church, because even letter of the law to what I just read, I view these guys as men that I can bounce things off of. There's a lot of times I'll call the deacons in to make sure that things are done right, that everything is established. A lot of times I'll call them in to protect them or to protect me. Now, if that's the kind of people that you're looking for a deacon, I say well done, and please avail yourself. Out in the foyer on the half moon table over by the bookstore, right in the center, is this deacon nomination checklist. Here's what it says. First bullet point. I understand the qualifications of a deacon is found in Acts 6, 1 through 6 and 1 Timothy 3, 8 through 13, including qualifications for his wife and children, if applicable. Second bullet point. I will be gracious in approaching the man or men I find as qualified using the question. And I wrote it out so you can do it this way. Would you be interested in being nominated as a deacon for service in our church? Is this a good time in your life for meeting the demands and qualifications of this office? Now, let me tell you why I do it this way. There are people that really don't want things from their past exposed. They don't really find a need to get their past out there. There's stuff in my past that you people don't know and never will, Lord willing. I hope I don't go nuts in the hospital and start spewing out all my past sins. I hope I don't do that. If I do, stuff a rag in my mouth, put me on a little boat and give me a big push, okay? You don't need that. They don't need that. We have some very, very good men in here that are not qualified to be a deacon, and you'd never know it. And they want to keep it that way. So if they say, you know, it's not a good time for me, then let it alone. Why isn't it a good time for you? You'd make such a good... Don't do that. Be quiet. Let it alone. Please. There's reasons. And as much as we try to protect you and your life, please be kind and protect them and theirs. And then the third bullet point. Signed nominations will be submitted to the pastor, who will contact, visit the nominated man and his wife, if applicable, and interview them via qualifications and the willingness to fulfill the office. Also, at that time, the biblical guidelines of a deacon will be rehearsed to ensure the function and expectations of the office are at least in line with biblical expectations and practically in line with the needs of this ministry. And then at the bottom, it says, I have approached... And there's a line you can put in the name to consider nomination for deacon of Anchor Baptist Church. He has consented and would be willing at this time. And then you sign it. So I want to know who is doing this so I know who isn't doing it. I don't want the teens filling these out. They don't have standing until they're 18. Okay? So it's not theirs to do. It's yours to do. And if I go there and they say, nobody ever talked to me about it, I'm going to come back to you and say, why did you put me in that spot? Makes sense? Makes sense. So anyway, we have a wonderful opportunity coming up second Sunday, which will be, I think, the 14th of January. Use it well. Use it wisely. I'm not trying to put the fear of God into you that you don't ask anybody. But I am trying to put the fear of God into you and who you ask and how you ask. Make it biblical. Oh, well, I'll just put in anybody that want. Pastor can be the heavy. Yeah, thanks. That isn't appreciated. It really isn't. you have any questions about this? I mean, we've thought this through and we've done this way for the whole time I've been here. But it's good to rehearse it. And I want you to know what we do and why we do it, okay? And I think we have good men. Let me pray with you. Father, bless us, please, as we go about this task, a good task, a church task of nominating men to fill the office of a deacon. Lord, I pray that you would bless us to this end in Jesus' name. Amen.